Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Canes Tire in San Rafael. Canes Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest from AT&T Park in San Francisco is Giants catcher Andrew Susak. Andrew, tell us about this club coming back off. You know, it's a tough road trip, been a really tough schedule for you guys, just the teams that you're playing. What's the confidence level right now of this team, you know, the sense of urgency to get things going?
You know what, every game from here on out is just about winning. Doesn't matter. You know, I think everyone's kind of grasped the fact that doesn't matter how we win, we just got to win. You know, we're running short on men. It'd be nice to have Hunter and Joe, but we're going to have some guys step up. And, you know, getting Marlon is a great addition to our team. You know, he brings a lot of experience. And, of course, Mikey Leak, and he's been throwing the ball great, threw the ball great last time off the DL. So, you know, like I said, I think the sense of urgency is there for sure. But it's all about winning from here on out, and I think everyone knows that.
How much can you relate to what Panic and Pence are going through? Because you were out for a while, and when a team's in the middle of a pennant race, all you want to do is help that team, but you have to be patient enough to get through your injury.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line between coming back too soon and making sure you're healthy, because you don't want to hurt the club coming back not 100%. So for me, that was just relying on the training staff to put my full trust into them and know that they have my best best thoughts in hand. So it's tough. I can definitely feel what they're going through right now. It was hard to watch the team play without you, but those guys are far more contributors to our team right now than I am. So I have a smaller role than they do, and I know that, but it's definitely two bats that are hard to replace right there.
How hard was it to come back from a thumb injury, the one that you had? Because, you know, in baseball, you're using your hand all the time, your fingers, especially as a catcher, to try to come back from that.
It's tough. I think in the long run, I was lucky that it wasn't my catching hand. It was more my throwing hand. So the last little hump of hitting was still giving me some fits 2.5 weeks in. So, we took an extra week just to make sure it would settle down and it wouldn't come back, because, you know, the sprains and the tears, those things seem to come back on you, and they just keep happening over and over. So it's kind of like a hamstring. You got to make sure you're 100% before you come back.
Will you slide again head first? I mean, I don't know that, you know, you don't want to do the same thing over again, but what if you have to get into a bag head first to be safe?
Well, they got me running in that oven mitt now, so I guess it's a little safer to do it that way. But, that's just the way I play. Maybe I should just think about sliding a little earlier before the base. That's it.
We'll have more with Giants catcher Andrew Susak right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Canes Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Canes Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
A lot of people who have gone through a root canal know that that is not a fun situation, and you had to deal with that as well during the rehab. Tell us about, you know, trying to come back from that as well, because it's hard to play baseball and even think about it when you have something that painful happening.
Yeah, well, this tooth's been kind of a pain in my butt lately. It's the same tooth from spring training, so it got infected in the spring, which is when I lost a bunch of weight and was feeling really sick, got flu-like symptoms, which is actually, believe it or not, pretty common from a root canal. It happens a lot. You have an open cut, open wound. There's a pretty good chance some bacteria might get in there. So, it's frustrating, but I'd say it wasn't too bad. Knocked it out quick.
As far as the pitching, you mentioned Mike Leak being a nice addition. How about the other guys as far as the pitch counts early? And what kind of pressure does that put on you as a catcher? I mean, you want to try to get out of innings quicker if you can, try to give the bullpen a little bit of a rest, and it's been kind of up and down in that area lately.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the pitchers would agree, we don't have a bunch of guys that throw, 95, 96 miles an hour as starters like some of these other teams. So we got to get a little more creative in getting outs. So, you tend to see the pitch count get a little higher. But that's just because, we got to think a little bit more out there. And that's one of the things that I'm still learning and getting comfortable with these pitchers. But I think they're doing a great job. They're keeping us in games every night. So, a couple tough one-run losses on the road against two of the best teams in baseball. You got to take it for a grain, for what it is. Pitch count, as far as pitch count goes, I think they're always going to be pretty higher, you know, aside, you know, Baum and Heston occasionally, they'll run through some innings. But these guys, they're good at doing what they're doing. They're smart. They're thinkers, and that's what you want to see.
What about the tempo that a catcher sets for a pitcher? I know Buster Posey's talked about that he likes it to go quickly. And in talking to Ryan Vogelsong, he was kind of split on that because sometimes he likes it to go quickly, and he was saying sometimes you can throw off the hitter by not having the quick tempo. So where do you stand on that? What have you learned about the tempo of you and the pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely huge. You keep your infield on in check, and they're always active in the game. You know, you tend to have slow tempo. Sometimes you lose focus out there, so... And then you get the hitters back up to the plate quicker. So I think tempo is definitely huge. Bogey's a little different. He's got a good game plan. He knows exactly what he wants to throw sometimes. And you just got to make sure that your game plan going into it is on point. Because, you know, as you saw last game, we were off a little bit and it took a while to get in the flow of things. And that's just how some games are going to go. You know, he's thinking one thing, I'm thinking the other. And that's something we'll get hashed out here in the next couple days.
We'll have more with Giants catcher Andrew Susak right after this. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective, and get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. And stay with us after the Andrew Susak interview. We'll hear from Angel in our regular segment on pitching. On the offensive side, I got to believe that it's really challenging when you're not playing every day and you do a great job of, you know, you come in there, you're ready to go with the bat. So what have you learned about that? Because, you know, when you're in the minor leagues, you were playing every single day. And here it's when Posey's playing first or he's getting a day off that you're getting a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You just got to stay mentally focused and know that your role is very important. I try to make, you know, not take it too serious, but know that. No, when you get your shot, you got to do something with it, and that just comes from preparation and your pregame routine. So I try to do the same thing every day. It's definitely tough because you can't simulate live at bats on your you know, before the game or after the game. So whatever it is, hit off the machine, see some live pitching from the coaches, but little things. It's just all about routine, really.
I'm looking at this Cubs team, and they got a lot of young players on their roster in their lineup. How do you guys go about learning about them? You know, there was a series in Chicago, and they swept the Giants. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Giants in a way, bringing up the young guys. They're contributing right away. They're not waiting around. These guys seem really confident.
Yeah, they're a confident group. They're young, and they swing the bats well. I mean, they got great pitching, too. It's keeping them in the games every night. So they're obviously very confident at home from last time I checked. They've been playing pretty good ball at home. But you know, it's a combination of just rolling with the game and seeing what's going on and trusting your scouting reports and seeing what these guys are doing when we aren't playing them. But you know, like you said, they're a young group. They're going to be aggressive and they're going to have a lot of high energy guys. So you just got to go after them.
You guys have played better at home. I mean, there was a stretch where you weren't playing as well at home. Seems like you guys have picked it up in that area. You're trying to take advantage of these opportunities. You got the crowd behind you and everything.
Yeah, I think that's huge too. Our crowd comes out every night and is pulling for us, and it's a big deal. So, you know, like I told someone earlier, you know, earlier on in the season, we weren't playing too hot at home, and I think that's just one of those things of early on in the season, but I knew we'd kind of figure that out because we do play good at home and we know how to win here.
All right, Andrew, hey, thanks a lot and good luck in the series.
All right, thank you.
That's Giants catcher Andrew Susak here on thesportsvirus.com. And now we have our regular segment with pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. And we always talk about the Giants and what's going on with some of the pitchers. And we're going to talk about sliders today. But before we get to sliders for some of the guys who are throwing it well, last night I was at the Giants game, Angel, on Tuesday night. And Matt Cain, he's really struggling with some of his breaking pitches. You know, not only his curveball slider, but also his changeup locating and giving up home runs on those pitches. So, you know, what do you think from what you've seen, what do you think is wrong with Cain right now, coming off the injury, of course, that he had to deal with in his elbow?
you know, pitching coaches will look at it from one perspective, and somebody who deals with sports science and performance and sports injuries, we look at it from another perspective. So while there may be some things going on from the pitching coach perspective, if one of my pitchers has had surgery on his elbow for bone shifts, and then he had some forearm stress at the beginning of the season, and then all of a sudden, while he's not really dropping velocity in his fastball, he's starting to have trouble locating some of the pitches that actually require a little more from the forearm and wrist, I would be starting to be concerned that he was starting to have some issues with the wrist and the forearm in terms of tightness, in terms of lack of strength, in terms of possible overuse, given that he had this at spring training. So while the pitching coaches will want to look at this from their perspective, it's really important to connect dots when you have a pitcher who's really good, and then all of a sudden there's some things going on with the specific pitch types that actually have more to do with the location of his prior problems. And the pitch types, you know, you mentioned sliders and curveballs, et cetera, the pitch types are have different demands on the wrist and the forearm. And it's why we think that some of them may cause more injuries than others. But this is a dot that I think it really has to be connected for Matt. And he needs to look at it. He needs to, you know, he may have tightness he's not talking about. But it's just too coincidental to me that this great pitcher is all of a sudden having problems with that. And, you know, the break in a curveball, everything comes from the way you're using your wrist. This is really critical. And the wrist muscles are attached in the forearm. If you're not breaking it correctly, that's when it doesn't locate correctly. It doesn't go where you think you're going to go. So let's say he's got some stress that's unidentified. He may not be getting the break in his wrist because there's a specific action at the wrist. And if that action is causing stress in his forearm, his brain will start to deregulate that and just kind of slow it down. So from an anatomical, kinesiological perspective, this is something really that needs to be looked at just to make sure he's staying safe. And again, it might be a pitching coach issue where it's really about something to do with strategy or what he's thinking or whatever, but this is definitely something that we should always do when we have a pitcher who's in trouble, especially when he's had a history of an injury that correlates to the pitch he's throwing and having problems with.
Think about this. I just pulled this up off of Pitch FX. It's a study that they've done on Matt Cain between 2007, 2015, that he's thrown 25,003 pitches. That sounds like a lot. And a lot of them, of course, have been sliders. So, you know, that's a lot of workload.
Wow. Did you say 25,000?
25,000.
Since 2003. So we've got 12
2007.
Years
of 20. Wow. Yeah, they've tracked it since then. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that sure does sound like a lot. You wonder why these guys actually are still even standing. But, yeah, wow.
Well,
that's amazing.
Speaking of sliders, and this is a guy who throws so many of them, Sergio Romo. And I don't know, I don't have his pitch tracks as far as how many in his career, but he relies on the slider. You know, I don't even know what the percentage is. It's got to be like, you know, 90% of the time that he's throwing sliders. And I've noticed that Sergio's slider seems to be really sharp lately. It seems like he has a great feel for it in the second half of the year, and he's had more success. And it's so hard for hitters to pick up that slider and figure it out. So when you look at him, and even Hunter Strickland is now incorporating a slider, and Madison Bumgarner, he's got a great slider. As far as Giants pitchers, what kind of stress for all those guys who throw the slider does that have on their arm? You know, what do they have to look for? How many can they throw, let's say, in a particular game? Is there a number that they have to look at?
Well, you know, first of all, I think the pitching coaches have a handle on this. I know in bullpens when my guys come in, and, you know, and I let them direct this because I'm working with college guys that are elite, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, and I happen to notice that they're not throwing six curveballs in a row in a bullpen when they're practicing. So they kind of spread it out. But here's the deal with any of the pitches. First of all, the research came out recently, you know, that the curveball and the slider is very similar to the curveball in some ways, and it's very similar to the fastball in other ways. But we get the most research on the fastball and curveball. Believe it or not, when they pull pitchers in and we try to get a big group that can throw a slider, we never have enough to where scientists want to say, wow, we found this out about the slider, and it's definitely showing that it's significant. Fastballs and curveballs, yes, we have that information. But research came out from ASMI. They finally studied it. And the curveball, really, in terms of joint forces, in terms of certain stresses that we think about, the force, is really no greater than a fastball. And the slider is similar to that as a curveball, in some ways similar to a fastball. Now, the deal is with any breaking pitch, the forearm is going through a different motion, meaning the hand changes its position, than in a fastball. And the more it changes in that position, the more you're getting rotation in the forearm. And it's that rotation that actually uses the forearm, just like when we're talking about with Matt Thain. So when you've got pitches that are using the forearm, and the forearm's going from what looks like a fastball release, then it goes into what is similar to a curveball release, and this is for a slider, but it's a little bit different, then it returns almost to what seems like a fastball release as it decelerates. And by the way, the slider has more deceleration than any of the other pitches, which is, you know, the phase of the motion that has the most injury potential. So when you think about a forearm going back and forth like this, it's getting used in a different way. So that's why we know that the forearm can become fatigued. And when you throw those pitches, you have to be somebody who's training your forearm and training your wrist to be able to handle that kind of power endurance needs that you're going to have. Now, even though we do the research and we say, hey, so if they're the same, then I guess they're cool because they're no different than the fastball. The deal is because they have an exotic style of delivery, you have to practice it more. And so even though we have little kids that are throwing them, the reason why the ASMI says don't throw it until you're in puberty is because they practice it so much to try to get it right. And it's in the practicing and the learning of it that you can actually create problems. Also, we don't have enough pitching coaches at the level of youth pitching that know how to teach them correctly. So they have to go to instructors, and when they get higher up, they start to learn. So these pitches have things that we should be looking at that are other than just the forces. But you do have to balance it out. But here's the real deal about the slider and the curveball. The reason why a pitcher has different pitches is to ultimately throw off the hitter. And what we find when we look at pitchers that aren't that good, so this could be happening with the major league pitchers that don't have a good slider. When we look at pitchers that don't throw them that well, their mechanics are different than their fastball mechanics. And when you have a delivery that changes, the elite major league hitter can see this. And the types of changes that they see are the things that could be picked up. So what makes a slider and a curveball effective is it throws off the hitter. Probably the reason why the guys you're saying are so good is their delivery is probably very similar to their fastball. They're not making the kind of change. They're making some changes, but not the kind that can be picked up by the hitter. Because it doesn't matter if your slider breaks the way you want it to. If the hitter can hit it because he can see it coming, then you'll say it's not an effective slider. So keeping the mechanics the same is one of the most important things to being healthy, having a good slider, and then training the forearm and wrist to make sure that you've got the strength to be able to handle repeat performances. So that's the deal on the slider. Scientifically, they're just the same as the curveball in the sense that you get a lot more you have a lot more motion going on in the forearm. And, of course, the forearm relates to elbow, Tommy John issues. But we have to look at more than just the forces as to why they could be injurious, especially to a younger pitcher.
And one of the worst pitches in baseball, the hanging slider. So when you said it decelerates, it made me think of that the power hitter just enjoying the hanging slider because it's decelerating and it's right over the middle of the plate.
Exactly. And especially if they have inside information on a particular pitcher who is having trouble with it, and it's why sometimes they don't slow it. I mean, my pitchers come to me and they say, because I always ask what pitches you throw, and they say, well, I don't use my slider because I can't throw it for a strike or whatever. So pitchers have a pretty good idea, and yeah, it is scary because, of course, you know, the slider's going slower than the fastball, faster than the changeup, and, of course, faster than the curveball. So it's right in there with that kind of speed. So when you slow that down and it hangs, the hitter has a field day with it.
That's pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli, who joins us regularly here on thesportsvirus.com. I want to thank Angel and Andrew Susak of the Giants for joining us today. We'll be updated again on Thursday when we hear from Kevin Youkilis, a former major leaguer who is now a consultant with the Chicago Cubs and an analyst for 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.